Hello. The theme for the sixth full day of the International Conference for Itinerant Evangelists was the evangelist relationship with the local church. This is Paul Bennett inviting you to join me at Amsterdam 86. Dr. Nilson Fanini, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Niterói, part of Rio de Janeiro, set the tone for the day when he emphasized that despite the differing jobs God gives to his people and the differing ways we do things, there is still a basic fact that must not be forgotten.
The church everywhere is the body of Jesus Christ. The church is of great importance because it's located in all places, in all continents, in all islands of the world. For example, we have evangelists from 174 countries of the world in this Congress. We are not the same outwardly. We dress differently. We have different habits. We eat different foods. We speak different language. Yet, each still belongs to the same family. We are just one family, God's family, one church, one body, God's family in Christ, which meets in different addresses around the world, but just one church, the Church of Jesus Christ. I preached once in one Asiatic island, and afterward, they took me to a restaurant. The waiter picked up a snake right in front of me and cut off its head and its tail. Then he asked me, "Brother Fanin, how do you like the snake? In soup or fried?" I told him, "I'm not hungry anymore." But I tell you, that was my brother. That was the Church of Jesus Christ. They eat different, but that's the Church of Jesus Christ. We are brothers. The church is everywhere.
Dr. Fanini said that now, as never before, there was a need for the evangelists who had gathered from over 170 nations to commit themselves to the task given to the Church of Evangelism.
By the year 2000, the population will be increased at the rate of 228,000 per day. Summarizing, the Christian population will increase by 28.5 million per year, while the world population explodes at four times that rate, 93 million per year. That's a big challenge for us as evangelists. That's a great challenge. The number speaks clear to each of us. Let us each commit ourselves to the local church. Let every one of us, we are evangelists, to multiply our efforts in the world wide through the local church. And let us never become so busy, so overcommitted in our schedules that we fail to see the Lord and let Him work in us.
The theme of evangelism came up again when the Director of Youth for Christ in Sri Lanka, Ajith Fernando, called on the participants to multiply their ministries by training others for the job of reaching out with the good news.
How could a busy man like Paul, who had so many things to do, so many affairs to be thinking about, find time to be a father to Timothy? How could he concentrate on a few so that he could be their spiritual parent? As you look at the ministry of Paul, you find that like Jesus, Paul almost never traveled alone. He always took his young assistants with him. Timothy was one of those who went with him. In Acts 16, we are told about how Paul found him in Lystra, found him young and highly esteemed by the church, and he took him with him in his preaching. Now, during these times of traveling together, Timothy was able to observe Paul's life at close quarters. In 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11, we are told how much of Paul's life Timothy was able to see. Paul says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and suffering." Timothy knew all about this. And this word know has the idea of tracing as an example, of carefully noting with a view to reproducing. Timothy knew exactly how Paul believed and taught, acted and reacted. Now this was possible only because they had lived together, prayed together, studied the word together, ministered together, and suffered together.
Mr. Fernando went on to say that the Apostle Paul would never have succeeded in his work without training others.
I want to say that Paul's ministry of multiplication is one of the main reasons why he was able to do such a lasting work for God. There were probably better preachers than him. In fact, we know from the epistles that he was not a good orator. But while he preached to the masses, he taught the team so that they could continue his work and spread his influence. Of course, there's a price to pay in multiplying our ministries in younger evangelists, in pushing younger evangelists forward. One of the prices that we pay is that they may make some big mistakes in some bad places and jeopardize our reputation. That is a risk we have to take, and that is a risk that we may have to pay dearly for. But it's worth it when we encourage others forward.
Ajith Fernando, throughout the week, the plenary sessions have included music played by a special guest, some famous, some less well known. George Hamilton IV, apart from being well known for his work as a country music singer, is often seen at evangelist Billy Graham's crusades. He visited Amsterdam 86, so I took the opportunity to ask him if he was doing anything other than sing while he was here.
I sure am. I came here as a guest soloist, Paul, and then when I got here, I was so thrilled to read all of the literature and the information in the book that we got when we arrived, that I decided I was just going to jump in with both feet and go to as many of the sessions as I could. I've been to just about all the plenary sessions, and I've gone to as many workshops and seminars as I could get to, and I really enjoyed it. I've felt like a student, and I've soaked it all up and not only been educated and enlightened, but much blessed by it, and also the fellowship, mainly the fellowship of having simple meals with people from other countries all the way around the world, people from different cultures. I think it's tremendous for Christians to get together and bounce ideas off each other and interact, and it's a real inspiration. I've loved every minute of it.
Were you aware that there were so many evangelists in different parts of the world?
Oh, I sure was, and I just couldn't believe it, you know, when I got here I read in the newspaper here that somebody made the remark that that, you know, they were so surprised to see all the many different ethnic groups and the different shades of our skin. You know, they said all of a sudden I realized this is the body of Christ here. You know, and we're all sorts of different colors. We wear different kind of clothes. We speak different languages, and that's a tremendous enlightenment, I think, for all of us to realize that. Our picture of what heaven will be like and what the Lord is like is something that comes from our own culture and our own background, and someone else's picture is completely different. And it makes you realize that we're all really one big family in the body of Christ. And it's interesting to note that there are more countries represented here than there are at the United Nations. And I think that probably a lot more good comes out of these type gatherings than when the politicians get together and argue with each other and scream at each other. You know, I think if we could do more praise and worship and more celebration like this, more singing and sharing and praying and preaching, and boy, that's, to me, that's where it's at.
Fly away to a land on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. like a bird from prison bars that's flown. I'll fly away.
George Hamilton IV. Music performed from the platform is only a small part of the expression of joy and faith that's to be found at Amsterdam 86. During any short trip round the Rye Conference Centre, you often come across small groups that simply break forth with joy. And you just have to turn the corner to really find out that the Argentinians have arrived. Some of the music to be heard around the conference centre here at the Rye. Among the 8,000 travelling preachers are just a few ladies. Miss Joanna Shetler is a missionary working with Bible translation work in the Philippines. Miss Shetler shared how she had seen God working in her life.
God did not promise us that working for Him would be easy. He only said it would be worth it. You know, I cannot tell you how much I have loved my Balangao father. I will never forget the last thing I ever heard him say before he died. It was just before I left to come home on furlough. We had just dedicated this Balangao New Testament, and he came up to me with tears in his eyes. He shook my hand, and again he said, "Thank you. Thank you for coming." He said, "We never would have known this if you hadn't have come and told us." And you know, I look at you and I think, how many people are going to walk up to you with tears in their eyes and say, "Thank you. Thank you for telling us. We never would have known if you hadn't have told us." So brethren, do not give up. Persevere in your evangelism.
Joanne Shetler bringing this report from Amsterdam 86 to an end. Studio production was by McDaniel Phillips, and I'm Paul Bennett. From both of us, goodbye.